Quiet for sound. Here we go. Let's get on here. So good to be with you again. I know I can say that. I know you see me every week, but there we go. I can tell you it is good to be with you. I'm just thinking of something. It was being said the other week, and I just need to make this clear. I think Trevor was saying about one of, you know, like Eric's kind of big ambitions is to have a Bentley. And praying about, you know, somebody saying, Lord, you know, and I have to say, Eric, if God speaks to you about, you know, and you've got the money to buy a Bentley, he'll say, Eric, buy Paul it first. I think we'll get to understand about, I think that nicely leads into the message we've come to talk about today. So first, if we can just pray together whilst I'm sharing this message. I believe what we're about to talk about this evening, this afternoon, is Christianity 101. It is the core, or it should be the core of who we are, what motivates us, what causes us to be who we are, what causes us to do the things that we do. The very reason for our existence. And it set the course for my own life. It's the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning. It's the thing that brings me joy. It's the thing in the midst of heartache that keeps me ticking. It's the thing when people are naughty towards me and I want to go and slap them with a holy slap, that it keeps me looking on. Whether there is such a thing as a holy slap, I don't know. But, you know, the Lord might tell me at some point. Well, let's hope none of you find out, eh? But, yeah, so let's just pray. And then as we're sharing this message together, just keep praying, please, for me. Because, you know, as I've said before, I'm not the world's greatest speaker. But I have a desire to honour him. I have a desire to bring glory to him. I said this just in the last place I was speaking at in Oldham, and I said, if you've come to listen to me and you want me to tickle your fancy, go somewhere else. If you don't want to meet with the living God, because let me tell you something, it wasn't me who died for you. It wasn't me who forgave your sins. It wasn't me who can take you anywhere ultimately. But just to be a vehicle to point us to him, the Lord Jesus. He is the only one worth looking at. He is the only one worth listening to. He is the only one worth giving our whole lives to. He and he alone. And I just get the incredible privilege of standing here and sharing something I believe from his heart. So let's pray. So Father, we just come before you. Here we are again, Father. The ones that you love. And the ones who love you. And Father, we commit this message into your hands this afternoon. We ask for your anointing upon it. Holy Spirit, will you move upon each and every one of us? And would you cause us to love you more and more with our everything, as you have loved us with your everything. That God, the hallmark of our lives, here today and moving forward, is that we would love you with our everything, withholding nothing. And that we would bring glory to you. And that we would see you as a result of us loving you with our everything. That others around us would be touched and influenced by that, never to be the same again. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're going to talk about today, it's interesting. Last year we were talking about what is our front line. What is your front line? Our place of work, our families, our children, our enemies, people who do our treeing. It's a Salfordian theological term, do our treeing, by the way. As in somebody, again, you want to give a holy slap to. But what is our front line? And we were talking at the beginning of the year about growing in Christ. And what does that mean to grow in Christ? Sounds wonderful. But how do we put the meat and the flesh upon the bones in growing in Christ? Because if we don't grow in Christ, we may as well spend the money we pay for rent on this building, all the other things we do, just close the doors and go and do something else. If each and every one of us are not in a different place tomorrow than we were today, each of us steadily, day by day, growing in Christ. So when somebody came, the religious leaders came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" Now, I'll tell you something, they were interested in the answer. They were just trying to catch him out, trying to again play games with him. And they just forget, he's God. And they're not going to trick him. They're not going to get the better of him. And so we look in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important, the greatest commandment is this: listen, O Israel." You hear the heart cry of Jesus in that, "Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." So when the religious teacher came to Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest thing? What is the greatest hallmark of our lives?" It's not ministry. It's not being famous. We can lead a church. We can have a church of thousands. We can have works of mercy. We can have a cap centre. And as wonderful as that is, Jesus didn't say, "What's the greatest thing we can do in life? Have a cap debt centre. What's the greatest thing we can have in life? Have an amazing school of worship. What's the greatest thing we can do in life? Reach out to the poor and the homeless." All absolutely fundamental. And they are the hallmark of this church. It's part of our DNA. But he said, "Love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." In Matthew 28, I think it is, he doesn't say strength at the end of that. It's in Mark where he says strength. So it's not ministry. It's not being famous. It's not having loads of money. And do you know what as well? It's not loving people as we love ourselves. I have heard so many people have said to me and said to friends, "You go a bit overboard on this loving God business. These are church pastors. These are people who get their names and their faces on television. These are people who are supposed to be some kind of spiritual authority in our nation. And they say, 'Paul, calm down and chill out a bit. We're busy people. We've got too many things going on to be getting caught up in loving God with everything we've got, withholding nothing.' Oh, I want to weep. I want to weep." And they say, "You know, what about the great first commission, the Great Commission. We have to love people. And I heard somebody say to me, people who talk about praying and sitting at God's feet and worshipping Him and loving Him with everything they've got, they're lazy people. And they don't care about the lost. Can I tell you something? It is only in loving God with our everything that we can truly love our neighbours as we love ourselves. We cannot turn it upside down. And as we see, God said this is the greatest commandment. It is about loving God on His terms, not on our terms. It is not about us suggesting and recommending to God how we live our lives for Him. I've lived my life like that too long, too many times. And God is good and God is merciful. But I want from this day forward, the hallmark of my life, people to know me, not for being a great preacher, not for being a great intercessor, not for being somebody who loves people. I want to be known as a man who loves God with my everything. No matter what, no shrinking back, no fading away, no losing heart, but in everything I think, say and do, to love God with my everything. And can I tell you something? That's not radical Christianity. That is basic Christianity. It is us who've made it more of a big deal than it really is. It's basic Christianity, this. So we see loving God on His terms. And do you know, it's a commandment, not a suggestion. I live as though God has said, well, come here in a minute, Paul. Let me have a talk with you. What do you think about this? You know, do you think actually, you know, I know I died for you. And I know I gave my life for you. I know I became like human and came from heaven and came into all this rubbish whilst you were still a sinner and denying me and hating me and being a filthy, rotten scumbag. What do you think about this idea of you loving me with your everything till your dying breath? What do you think, it's a good idea, Paul? Does he ask my opinion? No, he does not. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. And we are to love God on His terms. And it's understanding that we are made in His image, not He is made in our image. So let us plow into this journey of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. How do we love God in this way? I believe when we're sharing together and we're teaching together is in regards to good theology. There should be an observation, there should be an interpretation, and there should be an application. So it's great to hear that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. But the reality is, do we do that every day? The reality is, if that was true of the majority, even 10% of the body of Christ in our nation today, do you think we would be seeing circumstances different? Do you think we would be seeing communities being put together, families being put back together, the church growing, people madly in love with Jesus? Well, if we're not seeing that, it's because we're not doing this. We're not doing this. And this is the ultimate cry. When he said, hear, O Israel, Beshema, hear, O Israel, I think is the word. I can't quite remember. Hear, O Israel. It's the cry and the longing of his heart. He desires for us to love him. Why? Because he loves us with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength, withholding nothing. It takes God to love God. So do you know something? If there's anybody in here, and I put my hand up, who can't love God of themselves, well, I tell you what, you're in good company, because I can't love God of myself. It takes Him in my life to love Him. It takes a revelation of His love by His Holy Spirit working in me to love Him back. Isn't it amazing that we have this God who gave Himself for us unconditionally? Forgives us, gives us a new life, and not only that, gives us the grace and the ability to live also how He desires us to live. How do we know God loves us? So, John chapter 3, verse 16. Do you know? I was thinking about this scripture, believe it or not, today. And I'm just kind of working, going through it all. And I went, what's that scripture about love? And I said to Karen, can you believe I can't remember the most famous scripture in the whole of history? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life, will not perish but have eternal life. For He did not come in the world to judge it, but He came in the world to save it. I remember seeing my son dying. And I remember wanting to do anything I could to see him survive and to live. And if some scumbag came into my house at that time, and I use that word carefully, is somebody who has got issues with, and they came in and they said, let him die. And would you let him die so that I could live? It might be that my son might be a good match for his kidney. Would I let him die? No. Would I do that for a very good friend? Highly unlikely. Would I do that for an enemy? Absolutely not. I'd love to say otherwise. But He, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. So let's put this one to bed. Let us never ever again question or doubt, does God love us? Whilst we were still sinners, He died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. I don't know about you, but I know for me. And the thing is I needed somebody to forgive me. There might be people here today who think they're really nice and they've got it all together. Do you know what? I'm not nice. And I've not got it all together. I've been a Christian nearly 25 years. I feel I need more Jesus, more right now, than I ever have done in my whole life. He is my everything. So Augustine, Saint Augustine, one of those famous Augustine of Hippo. So this is a bit of theological stuff now for Eric, because I know he likes the theological stuff. Augustine said this: God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. So when we get to come before this amazing God, who invites us here, O Diane, here, O James, here, O Steph. This is my greatest commandment to you. This is my greatest will for your life. This is the greatest way I know you're going to be truly fulfilled in life. To love me. And imagine, He loves each of us as if there is only one of us. Imagine that when we come before God, the creator of the universe, who has no beginning and no ending, and we stand before him, and it's just me and him. And I am the apple of his eye, and his affection is on me. So what truly satisfies us? What truly causes us to desire? What gets our heart beating faster? So King David said, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after." He gave his whole life to pursuing, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, inquiring after him. It became the hallmark of his life. So this might sound okay. My word, time has gone. Here we go. So we're commanded to love God with all of our heart. That's our affections and our emotions. Where do our affections and our emotions go? Do I get more excited about Man United doing well? And if I do, then I'm in trouble, aren't I? Do I get excited about Man United doing well more than I get excited about Jesus? Our affections and our emotions, our heart. Why does he command me to love him with all of my heart, with all my affections and all my emotions? Because he has done that, and he does that, and he invites me to share in that. It's the only way we can be truly satisfied in life. What do we give our hearts and our emotions to, our affections? Is it the football team? Is it Coronation Street? Is it to ministry? And we're running around like headless chickens, trying to do this and trying to be that, trying to get that person in, trying to do this, trying to get more money in, trying to get ourselves famous and trying to get ourselves known. And we put our affections and our emotions into things that might be okay, but they're not the ultimate. And it's not what God is asking for. He's asking for first place, making the first and greatest commandment first in our lives. Our emotions and our affections. We may have been damaged in our emotions and our affections. We may be hurting. We may have disappointments. But we can bring that to God. David Beckham isn't going to sort it out. Man United are not going to sort it out. Ministry is not going to sort it out. Good theology is not going to sort it out. It's an encounter with the living God and pouring your everything into him. Your emotions and your affections. And it actually says in his word, in Romans, that we go through suffering and we go through hardship as a demonstration of his love towards us. And what I am saying is, when we make this the focus of our lives, the burning passion of our lives, the one thing of our lives, we become untouchable. Whether people praise us or offend us, whether people kick us or hug us, they can't touch us. Because we're so enraptured and so fascinated with loving him, being loved by him, and loving him back in the same way, nothing can touch us. You may think I'm talking a load of rubbish there. I promise you, I'm going on this journey. And we've had some things to put this to the test. And I remember with my affections and my emotions 6 months ago, thinking, I don't think I have anything to live for anymore. And I had no hope. And I thought, oh my word. I think dying looked like a good option at the time. I apologise to say. Why? Because I'd allowed my affections and my emotions to go in all kinds of other directions. And I didn't pour them out upon him. To love God with all of our soul, our personality. So you look at Jesus and his perfect example, and we're moving quickly here, promise. Is there's two things I want to look at there, is in regards to our personality, is our humility and our speech. So we have the perfect example from Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that he did not consider being God something to grasp onto and to hold onto, but he laid aside that, took the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even death upon a cross. And in that same portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is asking us to prefer others ahead of ourselves. We have no excuses because we have the perfect example. So we can never say we didn't know or we didn't understand. We're deceiving ourselves. Can we, in humility, prefer somebody ahead of ourselves? Can I see Ali want to do better than me? We might want to do something in the church. Would I promote Ali? Would I say, no, Ali's actually going to be better at this than me? We might hear about a church on the other side of the road, not spoken very nicely about us, but we go over to them and say, the Lord bless you. We'd love to find a way that we can serve you. And actually, we don't want our name on it, and we'll actually give you some money to help what you're doing. Is that humility? Is that preferring somebody ahead of ourselves? What if somebody speaks wrongly about us and accuses us of things that are awful? We've had lies told about us. I'm telling you my story here. But humility. And we look at the Lord Jesus Christ in his meekness, which means strength under control. Imagine God himself, compelled and bound by love, coming to earth as a human man and being constrained by that. Even though he's God, he had to work within the limitations of being a man. And he chose to humble himself because of the benefit and reason of love. That is humility. Strength under control. Meekness. Humility and love go together. Can we live for the benefit of others? I know somebody might upset me. Somebody might upset James. You know, I wouldn't recommend it, to be honest. But, you know, James could squash him. But is he going to look? He's told me stories where he read it. He knows he could splatter them all over the road. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It thrills me hearing that. Do you know that moves God? Do you know when we respond loving God with all of our soul, our personality, it moves God. We influence him. We cause him to move upon our lives with his anointing, and we get to become like him. We get to speak like him. We get to move like him. We get to act like him. Anybody who comes into our contact who says they're atheist or whatever, it's game over. Not because of our great theology or our great debating, but because God himself is living in us. All of himself. Why? Because we have surrendered all of ourselves to him. We are loving him with our everything. Please, guys. None of this is for show. I beg us all, let's go on this journey together. And with our speech, the word tells us, let no impure, no foul thing come out of our lips. And let no complaining come out of our lips. Oh, I wish that person, I wish when that guy up there speaking wouldn't wear such bright trousers. You know, I need a pair of sunglasses. I need some paracetamol. I'm getting headache. Yeah. Oh, I don't like the way he sounds. Oh, brother, by the way, just a prayer point. I want to tell you about such and such a body. What you're wanting to do is gossip about them. What you're wanting to do is ruin their reputation. Why? Because you're jealous of them. They might be doing better than you. They might be getting the credit for something that you've done. Oh, I'm talking to myself. I realise. I get upset. Our speech. Let's love God with all of our soul, our personality, our speech. Let's love God with all of our strength, which means our time, our energy, and our money. Our time. What do we give our time to? Is it just pleasure? More and more pleasure. More and more things to tickle our fancy. Bit of Coronation Street. A bit of going to the cinema. a bit of going to the football, a bit of going to a nice concert, a bit of going to church. Let's go and have a bit of a do at church on Sunday. Have a bit of pizza and garlic bread. It's the future. Put a bit of this and a bit of that, but nothing of with all. Nothing of with all. Nothing of giving your all. Our time. What do we give our time to? I hear people again saying, you know, why do you want to pray and why do you want to do this? Why did you give all that up to do that? I said, I get to be with him. Somebody said to me once, you're coming out for pizza? And I said, no, I said, I'm just praying. And they said, well, can you not have some fun and, you know, you're not feeling hungry? I said, hungry? I said, I'm starving. I know, is it? It is. I am starving for Jesus. Now, I sound like a ripe fruitcake, but I did. That's what I came out with. I'm starving for Jesus because I want to give my time for him first and foremost, because I know that's the only way I can be who he's called me to be. We've talked about energy and money. Let's finish here. I'm being ushered on now. I've got to finish. I've got to finish. I'm going to be in loads of trouble for the podcast. I apologise. This is all for free now. Time, energy and money. What do we give our energy to? You know, we hear about meetings where a prophet, this is coming, an evangelist, this is coming, and come and get your healing, and come and get prosperity, and hallelujah, and ish shish kebab, who stole my Honda. And, yeah. But we put prayer meetings together. And it's not about come and get your knees met, come and get your prophecy, come and get your healing, all this. It's about come and sit at the feet of this amazing God who loved us with his everything. They don't come. Is it not enough that God is there? We have to ask what our priorities are. And rounding all this up, in only loving God the way he loves us, can we love others the way God wants us to. And he says to love others as you love yourself. I hear a story of somebody sharing that I was praying to God, Lord, I want to love my neighbour like I love myself. And God said, that is the problem. You love God, you love your neighbour like you love yourself, and you don't love yourself the way I love you. Let's look upon him and how he sees us, and let's love ourselves the way that he loves us. Do you know it is sin when we question who he has made us to be, when we question what he says about us? It is not right. That's not humility. That is called pride and sin. And in loving ourselves in the way that God loves us, why do we talk about this? Because then we can love others. And I want to say, I can no longer do church. I can no longer go through the motions. I am not satisfied. There is too much at stake at trying to love God on my terms, trying to love other people on my terms, trying to get what is best for myself, while there are people around in here and around us who are dying and going to an eternal hell separate from Jesus, multiplied billions and billions of times for billions and billions of years. That burns within me. So let's love the Lord our God. Let's love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Let's love ourselves the way he wants us to love him. And let's love our neighbour around us. Why? Because it brings glory to him and it's going to bring revival to our communities. And if nobody knows here tonight this amazing love, I beseech you tonight, give yourself to him. It will be the most wonderful thing you ever do. It will be the hardest thing you ever do. But what I can say is, you give me easy life, you give me tough life. I would rather do life with Jesus than without Jesus. And I was a strong, tough man one time, and I thought I didn't need anybody. I can't do life anymore.
and I've been ruined and broken by this amazing, beautiful God who gave me his everything. And he only asks that I give my everything, that we then can be a blessing to our world around us and see his spirit move because we love him. Amen. Sorry to keep you. Amen.